The first time he preached since he's been a grandfather. Praise the Lord.
Good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. As we get started tonight, I want to thank every one of you for your prayers during our trying time the last 9 months. There were times, a little ashamed to say it, but faith wavered, but God was there. Yeah. Brought the strength back, praise God. And the trying times are over. Abraham and Sarah, God promised a child. God fulfilled that promise. He promised these two children a child, and he fulfilled it. Praise God. God is so real tonight. I praise him for it. I thank him for the many times that he's come by to give us the strength to go on. I've said it time and time again. A lot of times we're quick to ask God to help us, but we're slow to thank him for it. I've been very careful these past few days, and there hadn't a day gone by that I hadn't thanked him for that child that come our way. Praise God. Those who were there Wednesday morning, appreciate your presence, your support, moral and physical support, by just being there with us. And looking back through that window, I know I said this the other night, when I saw Butch coming through that back door with that child, couldn't help it, Brother Anthony. I started bawling and squalling just like everybody else standing there looking through that window. God finally fulfilled his promise. I'm not saying he was slow, but God knows when to move. We think it should be yesterday. God says it'll be tomorrow or whenever he deems it necessary. Whenever God says it's a time, then that's the time. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Got a simple thought here tonight. I feel like it's one God wanted delivered tonight. Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read two verses, and then, with the help of the Lord, we'll go further. St. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 reads like this. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Reading this verse, I've read it many times since the Lord dealt with me and saved my soul. But many times I read this verse, these two verses, and I overlooked one certain word in there. I didn't overlook it as being a word or being there, but what the word meant. It says, enter ye in at the strait gate. Have you ever noticed how the word strait is spelt? This is the word that I overlooked. Went to Mr. Webster. And this particular spelling of straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, means restricted or constricted, narrow, tight, confined, or the main definition that he wanted to emphasize, exact. Looking a little bit further in this verse, there's a word called broad. This same Mr. Webster said of large extent from side to side, wide, having great extent or expanse. And the other key word in these two verses is the word narrow. Have you ever thought about what the word narrow means? Less wide than is customary, standard, or expected. Think about it. Narrow is anything less than expected.
Come on now.
With these three words in mind, straight, broad, and narrow, God is giving us a choice tonight. We can obey this word, or we can follow the world. But before we go any further, I ask all of you to stand. Help me pray one more time that the Lord would help me in the remainder of this service. Heavenly Father, with these scriptures that I've just read, dear God, I ask for your help, your guidance, and your direction, your anointing of these lips of clay, dear Lord, as I continue with this message tonight that I feel like you've laid upon my heart. Dear God in heaven, I praise your sweet holy name. I thank you for your son, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that I have a choice to follow thee. In the holy name of Jesus, I call upon you now, asking for your help. Glory to God. I know that you just helped me pray, but I also ask that you help me pray through the remainder of the service. And with your prayers and the help of the Lord, I'd like to share a few thoughts with you of what I've entitled Two Choices. God has given mankind the ability to choose. God has given mankind the ability to think and then make a choice of what he wants to do. God placed a man and a woman in a place called the Garden of Eden. In the midst of that garden, he placed a tree. He told these people, he said, eat of everything within the garden of this one tree, and that you let alone. These Adam and Eve, as they went about this garden, they were tempted, they were deceived. They plucked the fruit and they ate thereof. They had the choice of either accepting or rejecting the fruit of that tree. They had the choice of accepting or rejecting the word of God. They rejected the word of God and they accepted the fruit. And this was damnation for all mankind. But God knew the day he placed man and woman in that garden, he knew that what they were going to do when they come upon that tree. The question has been asked time and time again. If God knew what the outcome was going to be, why did he put it there to begin with? God put it there to give man the opportunity to choose his way of life. God has given us two choices today. We can either accept the word of God and follow after the Son of God for an eternal home in heaven, or we can reject the word and follow this broad way that these scriptures are telling about tonight. One way of comparing the broad way and the narrow way. Look along these walls and then look at the center aisle. There is your narrow, here is your broad. I heard it told one time, that narrow pathway is only wide enough for two people. That's you and the Lord. Think about it. You say it's narrow, it's no room for anybody, but it's room for you and the Lord if you'll only follow that path. But on this broad way, we could all line up shoulder to shoulder and walk through the gates of hell tonight, and there would be room on either side. But that straight and narrow gate, it's only room for us and the Lord. It is less wide than what is expected. And this straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, straight, it was designed to perfection. It was exact to the way that God wanted it designed. We can go out and we say that is a straight line. But if you look at it under close scrutiny, there's a little wiggle here or there. But when God draws that line, there is nothing out of the ordinary. But we have the opportunity to either accept or reject. And a lot of times, we can talk to somebody. They say, I hadn't got time to do that today. I've got plenty of time. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. A wise man once said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you'll find that in Proverbs, the 27th chapter. He said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We've got to make that decision today, either to follow God or to follow the world. Oh, I've got plenty of time. There was a poem I read one time. It was about a teenager. I believe he was only 17 years old. He kept on begging, pleading. Finally, his mom gave him the keys to the car. He went to school, a party, or wherever it was he was going. He never made it back home. And the part I remember, if I remember any of it at all, it goes something like this. He said, I'm laying here flat on my back. He said, I see my mom. I see my dad. There's tears in her eyes. He said, I'm so cold. Don't let them see me like this. And I believe it said, because I'm only 17. I had plenty of time, but I rejected the call. Something to think about. We left Mobile, Alabama in 1981, moving back to Texarkana. Reading the obituary on any given day there during that year, the average age of the personnel in that obituary was 18 and a half years old. And they thought they had plenty of time. Tonight, we say, I've got plenty of time. God has guaranteed us the breath that we're drawing right now. We're not guaranteed to see sunrise tomorrow morning. We're not guaranteed to walk out of this door after the service is over tonight. But right now we have breath in our body. We have breath and we should praise the Lord. All that have breath, praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. This is what God has commanded us. We can either accept it or we can reject it. That is our option. Brother Hank, you can walk back there to that door. You've got two choices to make. You either leave the door shut or open it. Once you make up that decision, that your mind on that, if you swing that door wide, you've got two choices to make. Stay inside or go outside. Brother Quentin, you come in from work of evening. Sister Joyce has put your favorite meal out on the table. She calls you, says, okay, it's on the table. Come and get it. You walk in, you might have had the same thing for lunch that day, unaware to her. But when you sit down at that table, you got two choices. Either take it or leave it. And you better take it. Sister Joyce said so. But see what I'm getting at? We have two choices. We can accept or we can reject. Whether it be things of this physical world, things of our spiritual world, but the most important thing of all, we need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We can accept him or we can reject him. And when we reject the Son of God, he died upon Calvary's cross in vain. But he died that we might live. And too many times, we fail to thank him for the debt that he paid for us. He paid a debt he did not owe. And we owed a debt we could not pay. But there was a higher being. There was one above each and every one of us tonight that loved us so much that he paid the debt that we owe. Glory to God. Some people say, I'll just do a little bit of both. I'll go to church on Sunday. I'll go to the world Monday through Saturday. It won't work. The scripture says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible also says, surely thy sins shall find you out. You might hide it today for a week, a month, a year, but one day it's going to come to light. Been several years ago, I won't go into detail. I had such an experience. What I thought was covered up, come to light. Broad open daylight. And come in from all angles. God will show somebody your fault to turn you around. And believe me, it'll work if you'll let it. I'm not saying to get out and dabble in the world or dabble in sin just to see and try God to see if he'll turn you around. But surely thy sins will find you out, and you've got the option of either choosing God or choosing this world. But you cannot hold on to God and the world. If I might, without being comical, I'd like to compare a fairy tale with some more scriptures we're going to have here in just a moment. Brother Anthony, if you would, go to Matthew 7 and go down to verse number 24 and hold it for me. There was a fairy tale one time called The Three Little Pigs. The big bad wolf and the three little pigs. This first little pig, he went out and he built a house of sticks. Along came the wolf, said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And he did. This little pig run over to the second pig's house. He had gone out and he had built a house of straw. Once again, the wolf come to the door. He said, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And he did. Both of the little pigs now goes to the third pig's house. This house is built of brick. The wolf knocked on the door, said, let me in. They said, you're not getting in this house. He said, well, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And if I might use my imagination, those pigs inside all three at the same time, well, do it if you can. And so as the old story goes, he huffed and he puffed. He puffed and he huffed, and the house stood. One of these pigs had the right choice. Two of them made a wrong choice. What choice have you made tonight? Only you can answer that question. Have you accepted or rejected the Word of God? Now you say, how is this fairy tale going to fit into the Word of God? Brother Anthony, read that 24th verse slowly. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, these are the word of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can hear anything you want to, but if you take no action, that's where you're rejecting the word. After you hear it, what happens? And doeth them. Now, here you're making the right decision if you do them. Go ahead. And what did the wise man do? He built his house upon the rock. Now, of those three in the fairy tale, which one built upon the rock? The wise man has built his house upon the rock. This is the physical being today. One way of looking at this, I'm not saying that it's a bad choice, but the carpenter builds a house on pier and beam. Another carpenter builds a house upon the slab. Both of them are firm. One is just a little bit firmer than the other. But nothing like the house of straw, nothing like the house of sticks. And these two houses will be compared in another scripture here in just a moment. But we're talking about now, you hear the word of God. And if you hear that word, you obey that word, you're likened unto this wise man who built upon a firm foundation. Today, there is a foundation in this world called Jesus Christ. As we accept the Lord as Lord and Savior, we're lifted up out of that horrible pit. Our feet are placed upon a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is our Lord, and He establishes our going if we will heed His word. But we have to accept, not reject, the word of God. Read on.
And the rain descended and the floods came.
The rain descended and the floods came. Back early 90s, the Red River rose. We had all of that flood waters coming down out of Oklahoma. As those waters come up, there were some houses down there that stood. There were some houses that were washed off of their foundations. I'm not talking about the barns and the shed. I'm talking about the houses that the people dwelt in. Those houses were washed away, pushed off of their foundation. But those that were built upon a firm, rocky foundation stood. They were stained, but they stood. The rains came, the floods came. What happened? The winds blew,
beat upon
the house, and what?
And it fell not.
And it fell not.
For it was founded upon the rock.
It was founded upon the rock.
Praise the Lord.
Over in Germany, they work on their superhighways just like we work on ours here. But they go a little bit further over there. I watched them one day in the area where I was stationed. They would go in, start to build on this highway. They would dig down 8 feet, pull all of that dirt out, bring some more in, pack it down, and once it got back up to the original level of the ground, then they put about an 8-inch block of concrete on it. They had a firm foundation. They needed it for their type of highway. Their speed limit there in Germany itself is 130 miles an hour, unenforced. So you can go any speed that you want to. But it's posted on the side of the road, speed limit, 130 miles an hour. You've got to have a firm foundation under you if you're going to travel at that speed. And here in the States, we say 70 miles an hour is awful fast. But you try that over there in Germany, they're going around you like you're sitting still. But they built their roads upon a firm foundation. We need to build our houses on a firm foundation tonight. Because when the rains came, the winds blow, that house will stand. Now, what he's talking about right here that Brother Anthony just read, this is the physical storms of life. The hurricanes down on the coast, tornadoes going through, but the house stood. On the spiritual outlook on this tonight, when the winds blow, the storms come, thunder rolls, lightning flashes, is your house going to stand? That house may quiver and shake in the darkness,
But if it's on that firm foundation, Sister Ted, it's going to stand. Just as the scripture says, and the house fell not. Glory to God. And looking back at the first two little pigs in the story, tell us about them, Brother Anthony. If you hear these sayings and you don't do them, you say, I hadn't got time. I'll do that next week. Oh, I've got other things to do tonight. But then what happens? You'll be likened unto a foolish man who built the house upon the sand. There's no foundation. Keep going. The rains descended, the floods came. The winds were blowing. It beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Down on the Red River, some of them that fell. I'm not saying that it was a foolish man that built and not upon the foundation. Some of it could have just fallen by age, Brother Bobby. I don't know. But after the storms were over, they took pictures, and in the newspapers, you could see the damage along the riverfront. You could see some of the houses standing and some of them in rubble. And in one example, like I mentioned a while ago, the pier and beams, they could have been the ones that fell. But still, they were on a foundation. But it could just not as firm a foundation. But then those upon that solid rock. Let's see, isn't there a song that says, on the solid rock I stand? No. And no sinking sand, no shifting sand. But tonight we've got the choice of either getting on that solid foundation are staying out in the shifting, whispering sands. This world will take you on a high-speed trip to hell if we'll let it. You may not feel like that you're getting anywhere following the Word of God. But if you'll follow after God, tomorrow it'll be worth it all. But today, if you follow the world, darkness may come upon you a lot sooner than you expected. But if we will accept the Word of God, just as this 24th verse here says, if we'll build upon that foundation, when the storms come, the house will stand. Whether you want to accept it or not, this body is a house. It is the temple of the Lord, if we will allow it to be. And it needs to be upon a firm foundation. Rejection, exception, whatever we want. We can profess it, but we need to possess it also. It'll come to light if all we are is talk. But sooner or later, our foundation is going to be shown. Tonight, I want to be upon a solid rock. I want to cast aside the cares of this world. I want to turn my back on that Broadway that we talked about, and I want to seek after that narrow way. Because it said, and many, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And this is the bad part of this scripture. And few there be that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Many look, few find. A lot of it could be that they don't want to find. Or it could be that they're just procrastinating. Say, I'll look tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. But the choice is ours tonight. We can either accept the Lord or deny the Lord. And if we accept Him,
we're clashed with the wise man who builds upon a solid rock. If we reject it, we're clashed as a foolish man that builds upon the sand. But wherever we build, the storms will come. Not talking about thunder, wind, and lightning, but that spiritual storm, and we'll be cast asunder. I pray tonight that when it comes your time to choose, that you will accept the word. That tonight you will build upon that firm foundation. It's your decision to make. No one can make it for you. Years ago there was a song being sung. Gotta walk this lonesome valley. Gotta walk it by yourself. No one else can go there for you. You've got to go there by yourself. And that's physically by yourself, but spiritually, the Lord can be with you. Everyone who will, come and pray.